today. And as we think about this season, this think about this time, it's a miracle. It's amazing that He is just right here, very much a part of us. Today we're going to start into a different area. We're going to the book of Matthew. Matthew. I kind of like this guy, Matthew, as we're going to be looking at chapter 1. Because Matthew was a tax collector, and we love tax collectors, don't we?
Amen.
Matthew was a tax collector. Yeah, you do. It's why I've retired from the IRS. So, thank you very much, Jim. And you know what? Sometimes a lot of us may feel like our jobs may not be as important as some, maybe even looked down upon by some. But yeah, wait a minute. God is with us. God is with us. Matthew, this tax collector, I like him. I see this old raw bone guy that was sitting on the side of the road one time, and as he was sitting there, a man named Jesus walked by and said, "Follow me." Matthew got up from his job and he went and followed Jesus. But there's something special about Matthew. Matthew, on the day that he was called, sent out and said, "Guys, we want to have a big party." And so he invited all of his friends. Now, who are the friends of the tax collectors? Well, whoever they were, there was a bunch of them. And they came together and they had this party. And who was the main featured person at the party? It was Jesus. So over the next few weeks, I want us to think about inviting people into our homes and introducing them into someone special. His name is Jesus. Now, when you invite people into your homes, things can happen. Stoves can burn up. Things can happen when you invite people into your home. Little bitty things can happen. But you know, when it's all said and done, it's neat to have people coming into relationship with people, loving one another. Because we're living in a period of time that's uncertain. And so therefore, we're going to be looking at the certainties of God this morning. And kind of the theme that I would like to think about is, in the day of uncertainties, God is with us. So what would we look at? If I thought about what's happening in our world right now, I see over there in Israel, these bombs are flying across the Gaza Strip. Why? Because one country had been sending over missiles. And in Israel, remember, the heart of the world found in Israel. All of a sudden, a new day is dawn. The breath of war, the time of peace was there, but now it's the time of war. We're living in an uncertain world. I've moved now down into Gainesville, Florida, to Shane's Teaching Hospital. It's a hospital that I visited many times when I pastored down in Florida. But now they're closing the doors because of the financial crunch. And they're having to merge, moving into the mega. We're living in a period of uncertain times. And then I cross over and I say, well, what's going on in the religious world? Gallup polls comes along and tells us 2/3 of Americans think religion is losing its influence on U.S. life. Amazing, isn't it? 2/3 of Americans, is it losing it? You know, the last time that it was real low, or the lowest period of time, was back in the 1970s, where only about 14% of the people said religion had influence. That was coming out of the 60s. That's coming out of the war that we were in. But all of a sudden, now I look upon this thing as different. I look upon it as now we are living in an excited period of time in which the world begins to say, or America begins to say, religion is losing its power. But listen, folks, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So now it's time for us to fire up. It's time for us to get close and to walk with Jesus. Sometimes that period of certainty is going to come out of something that seems so bizarre. If I were to say to you, who are the top 10 men of history? Well, some would say Jesus, absolutely. Some might say, I don't know. They may say Khrushchev. I don't know who some would say. Some would say John F. Kennedy. Others would say President Bush. He's one of my heroes, okay? And some would say other top great men. But how many of us would list Joseph as one of the top 10 men in history. Probably very few. I would go so far to say none. But you know, Matthew, this tax collector, he looked across into history and Matthew saw something special in this guy. And I think if you look close to Joseph, in a day of uncertainty, all of a sudden you're going to find some strength. Matthew chapter 1, we're picking it up with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Well, let's capture this. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. What was going on? Well, in verse 18 it says the birth of Jesus Christ, but wait a minute. What do you see there? You see life? Oh, look at life's conception. Jesus' heart began to beat when he was 18 days old after conception. It was beating. That's the Lord Jesus. It was doing that. His fingerprints were established during the fourth week of the development in Mary's womb. He sucks his thumb 7 weeks after conception. And then sometime between 9 and 10 weeks, Jesus began to squint, swallow, and move his tongue. At the moment of conception, every piece of the genetic puzzle is in place. A miraculous blueprint is taking place. Jeremiah wrote about this when he said of himself, Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet of the nation." You see, you are so special that before you even came out of your mother's womb, you were there with all of this beautiful package together. Psalm 139:14 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well." Fearfully, wonderfully made. Oh, prophetically, what was happening? Well, we go back to Isaiah. Back in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible speaks that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." What are the four great words that can change our life? God with us. God with us. Emmanuel. The prophet of old. He told us about this. And then Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. So what's happening? Physically, we see this body that was forming. Prophetically, we see all the world's history now, God's Word coming together with the born of a virgin in the city of Bethlehem. But what's happening on the world scene? Luke 1:13 speaks about a man named John the Baptist being born. It says, "But the angel said, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." You'll know him a little bit later, because you will know him as the baptizer. John, miraculously, well, God speaks of him. Then the country, what was going on in the country? Taxation. In fact, it was so that every Jewish person had to go back to their place of birth, and they had to pay their taxes. And so this created a movement of the whole nation, according to Luke 2, verses 4 and 5. And then in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we're going to see how that after the birth of Jesus, that the wise men are going to come and say, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? A governmental, a people, a ruthless murderer now being challenged." And he said to these wise men, "Oh, tell me where you find him so that I may go and worship him." And when they turned and went the other way, the rest of the story says that Herod became so angry that he had every child 2 years of age and younger slaughtered, so that he might kill the king of the Jews. That's going on in the background behind this. And then look at the nation of Israel. What was going on? The nation of Israel had completed the cycle of going into captivity and then coming out and returning back to Israel for the birth. Daniel chapter 9 verse 25 says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 2 weeks. The street shall be built and the wall even in troublous times." In other words, it was told by the prophet Daniel, in 434 years, the Messiah would be born. Well, that's kind of the background of what's happening. But now, in the days of uncertainty in which we live in, what does Joseph have to tell us today? How can he encourage us? I think we can start by looking and following his life as we pick it up again with verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." What about this man Joseph? Joseph was a committed man. What? And committed men will stand the test of time. He was espoused. He was engaged. And how long did this engagement last? For a year. How long did your engagement last? I'm not going to tell you. But all I can say is that my wife said, there could be a strike where she's working. And if we don't get married now, it may be many months away. I think she was pulling one on me. But anyhow, our engagement was not a year long. But in this day and time, it was. It was a year. But during the course of this period of time, we know that Joseph was a committed man. His engagement, well, it could only be broken by divorce. But what happened with Joseph? Verse 18 says, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. In other words, Joseph was challenged. He was challenged. And you will have challenges that are going to force you to make decisions in this troublous time. In this time of uncertainty, men, you're going to have to make some decisions. For him, what was it? Mary had been found with child. Joseph discovered that his wife, and you would call it wife, even though we call it engaged, the only way to get out of the engagement was divorce, his wife was found with child. How would that affect you? If you were about to be married, and the woman of your choice was with child, Joseph here was forced into making a decision because he was truly a man of God. Joseph was a man of good character. And character will be molded by the relationship with God. Who was this guy? Verse 19. "Then Joseph," her husband, "being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." What was this challenge? His challenge now was what was he going to do with his wife? There was two. Because he was a righteous, he was a just man. He was a righteous man. He followed the writing of Moses. And in the writing of Moses, therefore, he understood that he needed to do one of two things. His wife was found to be impure, so he could put her away publicly or privately. If he put her away privately, it would mean this. She agreed to the charge that was made of her unfaithfulness. And therefore, they could go before two or three witnesses and the announcement of the divorce would take place, and he would give to Mary a writ of divorce, and she would return back home. Or, if she did not agree with that public charge of her being unfaithful, then what would happen? She would be taken before three rabbis. And taken before these three rabbis, it would be a public display of her unfaithfulness. And then the divorce would come. He was a just man. His character was that he had to make a decision. He loved God extremely, and therefore he had to resolve himself to do. But he was also a man of tender mercy. In his heart, he loved her so much that he wanted to put her away privately. Well, what was the result? He was not willing to make her a public example. So, in this day of challenge, I'd like for us to look at Joseph's life on three bases. One, a commitment to our marriage, a commitment to our fellow man, making the commitments and standing behind these commitments to the challenges, recognizing that we are going to have to make decisions. As I believe it was General Swartzoff who said, leadership is this. He says, number one, a leader has to make a decision. And he says, number two, a leader has to make a good decision. So therefore, as we approach men, we're going to have to make decisions in our life that's going to affect relationships. So let's make a decision. Let's make a good decision. But let's make that decision based on our character by walking with Jesus Christ and our relationship with God. And when God would say to us, what shall we do? That's where the Proverbs puts it like this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In turbulent times, let's trust in the Lord. 2009, man, we're going to have to make some big decisions. Big decisions. In our family, at our work, in our relationship, in our church. God is going to bring about because the times are uncertain. But when we follow him, we will find certainty. Secondly, though, I want you to see the pursuit here, a pursuit of confidence. We don't want to go through life saying, I know I've got to make decisions, but how do I do this? Give me something that I can sink my teeth into. Joseph did exactly that. If you'll pick it up with me, as we continue to read right here in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. What is he saying? If we are going to make good decisions and find certainty in our life, the number one thing that we've got to pick up on here on is that of listening unto God. First of all, we've got to think before you act. Verse 20, it says, while he thought. Now, this word thought, I'd like for us to look at it. It's called enthusiomai in the Greek. The first two letters would be in Greek. In means a position or a point of resting there. Why he's thinking. We could also use the word meditation. But the second word in there is thumos, which we get the word thermal from, or we would get the word passion from, or we would get the word fired up, angry, or wrath. So while he was in a position of rest, thinking, meditating, what shall I do with this girl who I have given my love and committed to marriage? What shall I do with her? It was passionate. It was fire. It was a struggle going on in his life. Listen, folks, when we need certainty, when we need confidence, it doesn't mean that it's just going to come easy. It means that he was in the course of this, having this weight upon him, making this big decision. So therefore, if we're going to be certain about our life, number one, we've got to think. Don't just run off. Don't just fly off the handle. Don't just give a short answer. Don't just think that it will not affect people's lives. Think about it. And then think intently, with intensity. And so therefore, we see the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, be not drunk with wine where it's in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. In other words, in our thought process, let the Holy Spirit come in and control our mind, our heart, our soul, so that when we come out of the chute, we will come out with certainty and peace that the answer is right. So therefore, one, think. Number two, we need to listen for a message from God. Listen. Listen. For God speaks. Verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Appeared. What is that? What is he telling us here? If you will listen, God will give an answer. How does God speak? If you just go through the Bible, how does God speak? Well, one day, God said to this rooster, rooster, crow. Have fun, rooster, and crow again. Three times the rooster crowed. Y'all remember that message? The day the rooster crowed, well, anyhow, that ought to be a good one. You know, the day the rooster crowed, and then all of a sudden, Simon Peter remembered what God said. He went out and repented. God can speak through roosters. What about donkeys? Y'all remember Balaam? Balaam was the same. Balaam was a guy, he was a prophet who was running away from God, and God put a donkey, an angel in front of the donkey. The donkey could see the angel. The donkey ultimately fell down as though he didn't want to be killed. Balaam got off his donkey and started beating the tar out of him. And then all of a sudden, God opened up the mouth of the donkey. And the donkey said to Balaam, said, "Master, and I've been good all these years." "Yeah, you've been good all these years. Can you see that? A man talking to a donkey?" You know, y'all remember Mr. Ed the horse. But anyhow, all of a sudden, this donkey was talking. What can I say? I can say that God can speak to you in dreams. God can speak to you through people. God can speak to you through the Word. God can speak to you through the animals. God can speak to you through the massive sky. God has a way that He can speak to you in words that you will understand. And you will know that it's from God. Joseph, he listened. Joseph heard a word from the Lord in a dream. Now, when he listened to here, there was a special message. And in this verse, in 120, it says, "Joseph, thou art the son of David." I like that. Why? Because he says to him, "I know your name." You see, when God speaks to us, He knows us on a first name basis. "Joseph, thou son of David, what was his need? Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife." Hey, I know your name, but I also know your need. Don't be afraid. Take courage. Go bring Mary into your home and let this marriage be complete. And then he goes on to say, not only does God know our name and God knows our need, but God has a plan for you. Because in verse, let's continue to read, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost," verse 21, "and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sins." God has a plan for you. You see, you may not have put Joseph on top of the list, but do you know what God did? God said to this man, "Joseph, you will give the name to the Son of God." Folks, that ought to put him on the top of the list. "Joseph, I know your need, but here's my plan for you. Call his name Jesus, for he shall be the Savior of the world." And that's God's plan for the world. You can see it in verse 22. "Now all these things were done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." God with us. After you think about it, after you act upon it, God has one last thing. After you think about it, after God speaks to you, God desires for you to act upon it. And let's close up today with thinking along these words. The Scripture says, "Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." What does God tell us through this man Joseph that could be top of the list? He says, number one, he says, after you hear the message, act on it. And Joseph acted with confidence. He wasn't uncertain. He acted with confidence. He went, I don't know what time of the day or night it was, but I can imagine when he woke up, he had a smile on his face. And the way it was in this period of time, when the groom was ready, he went after the bride. And maybe it was at midnight, maybe it was at 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe it was at noonday, but whenever it was, the Bible says when he woke up, Joseph went, got his bride, and brought her home. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to do. He wants us to live with commitment. Be committed men unto the relationships that we have. He wants us to deal with uncertainties through challenges. Challenges that we're all going to face. And these challenges are going to force us to make decisions. He wants us to be men and women with character. And that character is molded out of our relationship with God. He wants us to be men who will think before we act. Who will listen for the Word of God to speak, be spoken unto us. And then when God speaks, He wants us to act. So, in this morning, who is Joseph? He gave Jesus his name. He guarded Jesus in his early days. He guided Jesus along his life. I call Joseph one of the heroes of the Bible. So many times go unsung. Who is Jesus? The child of the Holy Spirit. The firstborn of the Virgin Mary. Savior of the world, save us from our sins. Fulfillment of the Lord's word spoken by the prophets. Who is Jesus? He is Emmanuel, God with us. And so who are you? Who are you? Well, if you followed the life of Joseph, you would let Jesus give you his name. You would let Jesus guard you. You would let Jesus guide you. You would let Jesus save you from your sins. You would let Jesus dwell with you. How do you know that? His name is Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus, Savior, save us. His name is Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. His name is Christ, the Anointed. His name is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So in this day of uncertainties, be mindful of this. You can walk with complete assurance with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we are mindful that, Lord, in uncertain times, we have certainty. We have many examples, Lord, in which we can follow that would give us help. And Lord, there's big decisions going on right now in this building. Big decisions, Lord. Father, I pray for those who are asking that they will receive according to your word. Those who have challenges in front of their lives right now, God, I pray that you would speak to them so that they can have total peace and confidence in the Word of God and the actions that they need to take place. Father, we don't have to live in uncertainty because Jesus Christ dwells with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Father, if there's one this morning that God is not dwelling as the King of kings in a person's life, may that person today, Lord, be saved. May that person today give their life to you. Others, Lord, for the many multitude of decisions, God, may you speak and may your people hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we share this moment. Today, we have this time together. Today is the final invitation in 2008. Are you going to approach 2009 with certainty or uncertainty? I trust that today you will say, I will approach this year with certainty because I will allow Christ to lead my life. If you have not given your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come and stand with me and let's pray together and invite Christ into your life. The prayer altars are going to be open because there's big decisions being made. Many times people like to go to the prayer altars and just say, God, here it is. And then listen, and God will give answers. Be it here, be it home, be it on the road, be it in a multitude of ways, God will give answer. What about you today? Let's stand together and sing as decisions are being made this morning.